welcome back to the conversation on the sunny side. I am Gabriella. 9 minutes gone past 2 o'clock. This is your number one talk news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk about exam failure on this hour. I'll tell you why this is a conversation. In the news, it was reported that 15 students scored one. You know how in examinations you score, for example, JAMB, you score 180 or 175, or you score 190, you score 200. Some students are so brilliant, they score 240, 250, you know, 230. 15 students scored 1, 0, 1. Like, I don't know how else to depict it for you. They scored 1, 1. 1, like 1, 2, 3, they scored 1. Now, 15 students reportedly scored 1 in the recently released 2022 National Common Entrance Examinations. And the NCEE conducted by NECO is for admission into the first year of the junior secondary school of, you know, Federal Unity Colleges, and also the 2022 edition. It was actually held on the 7th of May this year. As well as in two other countries, in Togo, in Benin Republic as well. Now, the Minister of Education, Adamu Adamu, who gave a breakdown of performance in the exam on Monday, he said, I'm going to quote a couple of things that he said. Anambra State came third with 5,335 registered candidates, out of which 5,070 candidates sat, while 265 candidates were absent. Zamfara State was fourth with 4,500 registered candidates, out of which 3,745 candidates sat, while 755 were absent. The candidate that scored the highest mark is Ajidagba, an indigene of Sokoto State with registration number so-and-so. Her center was in Soso and So in Lagos. Her score is 201. Obot Idara from Akwa Ibom with registration number so and so came second by scoring 200. The lowest score was 1 mark, and this was scored by 15 candidates from various states. The state with the least number of registered candidates is Kebbi with 74 candidates, end of quote. Now, according to his statement, 15 students from different parts of Nigeria scored 1 mark. One mark in the examination. I thought this was really fascinating in a bad way. And this made me think about how when a student fails exams, you see these parents coming to the school to harass the school, harass the teacher and say, why did my son fail the exam? You're not a good teacher. I demand for this teacher to be changed. Or you see parents changing the school of their children because they failed an examination. And that's why I'm asking, who do we blame? Who should be held responsible when a student fails examination? Do we blame the student for not being studious, for not being bright, for not being more attentive, for not, you know, being intelligent enough to pass the exams? Or do we blame the teacher for not being a good teacher, not doing his or her job well enough? Or do we blame the educational system for all the flaws that lie therein? Who do we blame for exam failure? The numbers to call are 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003. You can also call 0817-923-0007 or 0817-923-0009. On WhatsApp, it's 0809-030-6416. We're also streaming live on Facebook as well as on Twitter. On Facebook at Nigeria Info 92.3 PH, on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. Good afternoon, you're welcome.
Good afternoon, Nigeria Info.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
My name is Noble.
All right, Noble, go ahead.
Yeah, if a child has to succeed, the parents must take full responsibility for where the child stop. Yeah, some of the homework they give to the children are meant to be supported by the parents. So parents should not expect magic when they are not contributing their quota. That's what I have to say.
But the level that parents help their children with assignments is probably in the primary school and maybe junior secondary at the most. What about students that are in their SS1, SS2? Are the parents supposed to be held liable as well for their education performance?
I think students that are in SS1 and SS2 should already have benefited from the foundational stage of parents helping them. There's a level that strength will attain. And
so in this context, what is the duty of the parents? In this context, what is the duty of the parents?
Yeah, most parents might not even know up to SS1, SS2, but at least they should look at what the students are doing and profile and look for help elsewhere for them. They can even get the home tutor. It's normal to support what the children are doing or what the parents are doing for them.
All right, Noble. I understand. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. Kainde, please do also call back if you can. I missed your call. Good afternoon. You're welcome. Hello, good afternoon. Oh, yeah, I lost that call. Please do also call back. 0817-923-0002-0003-0007 or 0009 on Facebook at Nigeria Info 92.3 BH, on Twitter at Nigeria Info BH. Good afternoon, you're welcome.
Good afternoon, Gabriela.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
This is Noble. My contribution is this. First to blame is the system. Mass promotion is to be held responsible. That system cannot give us any good results academically. The second one, the parents contributed also seriously, because unlike then when we were in school those days, just back then in the 90s when we were in school those days, parents don't interfere in school activities. A teacher can beat a child, can discipline a child, but you can't see parents coming to school to demand for reasons why their children were beaten. But this time around, the father would go to the school to demand for the reasons why their children were beaten. And you know, you send them to school to be taken care of by the teachers. So whatever comes out, the result is as a result of what they've been doing, the teaching we both at home and what they obtain at school. That is my contribution.
All right, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. Good afternoon, you're welcome. Hello? You're welcome, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, this result of the thing you're talking about, the River State Forum, I don't know, I didn't know anything about my child. Yeah, I didn't hear anything about my
Okay, you want to know the figures? You can go on their website to get the figures. All right. Let me see. I think you can go check on the NECO website. I'm sure you can get information from there.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. You're welcome. Good afternoon. You're welcome. Hello.
Hello.
Please turn off your radio. All right, go ahead.
The question on ground now, either the student, the government, or the parents have to be blamed. Let's take our mind back home in those days when there was nothing like extramural class for the children, the upcoming children. You discover that the model of education as of then and the standard is higher than what we have right now. In one form, the government are to be blamed for not meeting up the standards of education which they come up with. Most of those who are in the educational sector today and men who are in authority today enjoy proper educational system, and that they are not coping up with right now. And that contributes to the failure of most of the students in the exam, number one. Number two, the student itself needs to be blamed. I remember in exam, when students will go in for prayer and be reading throughout the night, when they feel sleepy, you see them putting buckets down with water and soak their legs with water. There was serious competitions among students yesterday. But the competition is completely dead and buried among students now. Why? There's no disciplinary actions within the government curriculum in the school to train the children and to take care of the children. There is nothing to force the children into re-competition and study. And so the government is thoroughly to be held responsible, and then the students on their own, out of laxity, need also to be blamed. Then three, the parents have their own quota to contribute.
Mm.
Most of us, the parents, don't even care what our child do when they leave the house to the school. We don't care to know who is their friend, what they do, and how they go about their studies.
Mm.
We allow them, and even when they come back from school, we don't understand what they do on the net, on their phone. So the blame is not on one particular sector. The student as a person has his own role to play. The parents have their role to play. And the government has a role to play. But to me, I believe the government has better blame than the other two. Thank you so much. That's my take for now. God bless you.
All right. Thank you very much for sharing. Okay. Good afternoon. You're welcome.
Yeah. Hello, Gabby. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Go ahead.
I saw the start of the last caller. Mm. Let me start by saying that a chunk of the blame goes to the government.
Okay.
I'll try to be very brief with my own personal story. My son wrote this exam about 3 years ago.
Mm.
The reason why I said the blame to go to the government is when you were introducing this topic, you talked about government and a lot of things they are supposed to have provided that they did not provide.
Mm.
My son scored 14 in that exam. Now, why did he score 14? His sister had written the exam the previous year and scored over 200. It's got about 208 or thereabouts. She hadn't come out in the merit list. My son has a disability. He has dyslexia. We've been managing him for dyslexia for years.
Mm.
He had gone to a special school, a school of persons with disabilities. And we felt he needed an inclusive education. Do we have facilities for inclusive education? No, we don't. How does a child who has a disability fit into a system and compete with children who don't have this issue? It becomes very difficult.
Mm.
I am a teacher. I trained him in the best way I could. I took lessons upon lessons. I didn't bring him a lesson teacher. We used the same curriculum, the same skill that I used with the teacher. Mm. The father came in, the father did his duty, I did my duty, we did our duty. But there were no facilities. A child like that would have been provided with special writing skills. I'm not talking about experts.
Mm.
They have the kind of things they use in writing, like for persons, the blind ones, they have the things they use.
Right.
The ones with hearing impairment, they have the things they use and all of that. They had this place there. He had been managed for years. And we started getting into an inclusive education.
Mm.
So when he got in, that was the first time he was being exposed to that kind of system.
Mm.
He was with other children who are probably high flyers in their classes. He was confused. He didn't even know what to do. He didn't know where to start from. He didn't know where to end.
Mm.
When the results came out and he scored 14, we were shocked. I was expecting a 0 or a 1 like this other children you talked about.
Mm.
Now the children we are talking about, we can look at them. We don't know the peculiarities they have. If they have peculiarities like my son. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I totally understand what you're saying.
They could have peculiarities
right.
like my son. And we now say, because they are not giving opportunities for exam and passage, facilities are not provided for every child to compete third ready in the same environment.
Mm.
So a big chunk of the blame goes to the government. Yes, we can share the blame between parents and students and all of that.
Mm.
But 70% of the blame goes to the government.
I totally agree with you. Thank you so much for sharing. I mean, that's also a loophole in our educational system. I think in every sector, really, but more in the educational system, because there really is no accommodation for children or students with special needs. So what if these students are actually students with special needs? I mean, that's a very viable question, you know. And for children who do poorly in examinations, have we stopped to think maybe these children are struggling with something that maybe, you know, they need to be tested to be sure that, you know, they have the same assimilation ability with other students. Maybe they do have special needs. What provision has been made for students who have special needs so that they can compete at par with other students who are at their level? So that's a very, very, very valid point you raised there. Thank you so much for calling. We'll take a very quick break, and when we return, the conversation will continue. The question I'm still asking on the hour is, who should be blamed for examination failure? Do we blame the student who failed the exam? Do we blame the teacher who perhaps did not teach well? Do we blame the educational system for being flawed in the ways that it is?
Nigeria Info, we'll be right back.
How do you like your eggs? Boiled, poached, scrambled, or sunny side up?
Well, it doesn't matter, as long as it still remains an egg.
On the Sunny Side, we serve you different ideologies and perspectives. Details about life experiences you can relate with.
Various worldviews, culture, and lifestyle converge, yet it's still coming to you on your number one station for talk, news, and sports. 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Be a part of the Sunny Side every weekday, 12 noon to 3 p.m. and let's talk.
The views and opinions shared on this program do not represent the position of Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info, let's talk.
Welcome back to the conversation on the Sunny Side. I am Gabriella. We've got about 25 minutes on the clock. We're talking about examination failure in Nigeria. You know, the entire idea behind setting an exam is to decipher if the things that you have taught the students, the knowledge you have tried to pass, has actually been passed. If the student understands all the subjects, concepts, etc. at that level, and if you can actually move forward with, you know, the higher class or more subjects at a higher level. So when you set an examination, it's on the premise of what they have been taught. So if a student fails the examination, it means that they haven't necessarily learned all the things that, you know, you expected for them to have learned. So I'm asking, who do you blame when a student fails an exam? Do you blame the student for maybe not paying attention, for being too playful, or whatever reason? Do you blame the teacher in question? I mean, there are times that, you know, some students have experienced very terrible teachers who are not skilled in teaching. So do you blame the teacher and say, oh, it's the teacher's fault? Or do you blame the educational system? Like the previous caller before the break, the lady who called, where you actually blame the government and say you haven't put in place the infrastructure, the wherewithal to allow for a seamless education process. And so the government should be held responsible and liable. What do you think? I've got Mrs. Zion on the line. Good afternoon, Mrs. Zion. You're welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon.
You're welcome.
The teachers ought to be blamed. Yes, I know it's a shared responsibility, but the teachers we have of today, they are not motivated. They are not even anointed. Being a teacher is like a calling. If you are not anointed, you cannot be a teacher. The kinds of teachers we have today are the type that just jump into teaching because of no other work to do, have to do now. Just imagine, since the government is employing teachers, so you will see the group of people that will drop application letters. The question is, are you motivated to be a teacher? Are you called to be a teacher? Do you have that anointing to be a teacher? They don't. I'm telling you, they don't. Some of them will even tell the student categorically clear, I am just here did they have a better job, I will leave to a better job. See, until we get to that point to recruit real people who are teachers, that is how we can get it right in our educational system here in Nigeria. How many teachers have a relationship with the students they are teaching, the parents of those students, or their pupils? How many? Look at Abraham Lincoln. He has a relationship with his own teacher, and he wrote out to write a letter. Teach him. That is what a letter says. In psychology, we say that the brain or the mind of a child is a tabula rasa. What you put in is that what is going to bring out. So what is the teacher putting in the brain of those children? Nothing. I'm telling you, nothing. Today, most children even find it difficult to go to school because they themselves are not even motivated to go to school anymore. They don't want to be at home. The teachers are not incisive. The teachers are not dynamic. The teachers have nothing to offer. Compare when we are going to school as children. Are we not happy going to school? Even when it's raining, we will look for something to cover our head to go to school. There was no excuse. And the teachers were so involved in our life. If you are not in school after the registry, they call that 8 o'clock to 8:15, and you are absent, they will send the able-bodied men, go and fetch me that. Go and bring Mr. Zion. He must come to school. Go to his house. If even you, the parents, you have nothing to say. And you will see that if the child refuses to come, they will drag him to school. There are cases parents have to drag their children. You must go to school today. But today there is no motivation because the teachers cannot give the children what they need. The teachers have that ingredient. There is something children are looking for. And most of these teachers don't have it. So how do you want the child to grow? How do you want the child to learn? A lot has to do with the teacher. And during the recruitment process, we need professionals. Those old-time head matters, where are they? Can we still bring them? Where's that to call TTC, Teacher Training College? Do we still have it? How many of these teachers they went through that process to call themselves teachers? The whole blame goes to the teacher. Until the teacher is motivated, the children will not be happy. If you don't have a relationship with those children, you have nothing to teach them. You cannot correct what you are not connected to. The children are not connected to the teacher. The teacher cannot connect to them. So what can you correct? Mr. Zion.
All right, Mr. Zion, thank you so much for your thoughts. Good afternoon, you're welcome. All right, please do all to call back. The numbers once again to call is 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003. You can also call 0817-923-0007 or 0817-923-0009. I'll get to WhatsApp shortly. Keep your comments coming through. On WhatsApp, 0809-030-6416. Good afternoon, you're welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
My name is Dr. Bukwon.
Go ahead.
By God's grace, I'm a teacher. And I believe we are talking here for development. And it is important that it is not, people should not just come and say things. And say it so forcefully when perhaps they don't quite understand what they're saying. Now, when you are talking about the rate of failure of students, there are so many factors involved. And today, we should look at the factors that affect us as it stands now. I don't know if you have heard people say recently that education is a scam in this country. Have you heard?
People say the things they want to say.
Okay, so some people say that education is a scam. And they say these things to the hearing of students. And the students themselves are the ones saying it. Now that education is a scam. That's on one hand. When somebody thinks that something is a scam, do you think that their level of interest and motivation will be high? I think it's no. Now, talk about the teacher. I agree that there are some teachers that are not as motivated as they should be. There are teachers who are not as committed and patriotic as they should be. But there are other teachers, many teachers, who are sacrificing in the face of poor welfare. They still put in their best to ensure that they add value to their students. You also have the educational system to blame. Today, we have a system where, for example, in the university, you know that that is on strike now because there are so many issues that are not right with that system. A situation where a lecturer, for example, is teaching a class of 300, sometimes 600 students with no teaching aid, no public address system, no chairs, sometimes no marker or board to teach with. Sometimes people are studying courses like computer science, but there's no computer with which to teach them. What do you think will happen to their performance? Now you talk about the students themselves. Many students today don't know the purpose for going to school. Some of them will tell you that, oh, they hear that people who have graduated five years on don't have a job. So if they finish now and graduate, even in flying colors, the same fate is going to befall them. Then we'll talk about parents. There are some parents who don't know what it means to be parents. So they send children to school. Some of them aid their students in doing some of the things that make them not to be committed to their studies. From primary school, they do assignments for them. They do all kinds of things. Some of them help them to pass WAEC. So a child will stay in the house. The father will go and find a way of making sure that that child passes WAEC. That child gets to the university. What do you think that child will be able to achieve? So it's a gamut of issues. And when we are able to, as a people, solve all these problems and return our system to what it used to be, then we can begin to achieve the kind of results that we expect. And let me also say that those who are blaming teachers should know that even in those good old days when you had excellent teachers, in quotes, there were still students who failed and who didn't do well academically. So it is not proper to heap the blame on teachers or to heap the blame on government or to heap the blame on the students. All the various aspects need to be right. If the process is correct, then of course the output or the product can be right. But when we are playing ostrich with everything in Nigeria, we do the wrong things, then we expect a different result. Or we deny our situation and blame it on some people. That is not correct. If a student is in the right environment, with the right teacher, with the right tools and everything, and we are in the right kind of society where people understand that there is a reason for going to school and that when they achieve whatever they have achieved in school, there is a reward that will follow. Then, of course, we will have the performance of our students increase. As we speak today, finally, the standard of education in Nigeria has improved considerably. The standard of education has improved. Unfortunately, the performance of students is dropping. That's a matter that even the government officials need to understand. But many of them don't understand. And I hear people sometimes, they will say, oh, the standard of education has fallen. Because they don't understand that actually the standard of education in Nigeria is rising. What is falling is the academic achievement of students. Thank you very much.
So how then is the standard rising and the academic performance reducing? How is that even possible?
Yeah, because when you talk about standard, you are talking about expectation. You are talking about what has been put in place to gauge the extent to which we are doing the right thing.
So you're saying that there are a lot of things that have been put in place.
Even though we don't have all the computers in our schools today. But at least there is effort being made towards teaching students with computers. It is different from what it used to be before, where there was no computer at all. So that is an improvement in the standard. But unfortunately, the achievement of students is what is dropping, and that is what a lot of people ascribe standards to. But that is not standard. Standard is not the outcome. Standard is the expectation.
All right. All right. Thank you very much for your thoughts. We'll move on. Good afternoon. You're welcome.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Good afternoon.
Yeah, if you ask me, I think I will tend to differ. The level of performance is far better now compared to maybe when I did my
Level of performance is not the bone of contention in this conversation, right? Let's not tilt from the focus of the conversation. I'm asking, who do you blame when a student fails in school? Who should bear the brunt? Who should be responsible for that?
Okay, I think major part of the problem should go to the government. Government is not doing what they're supposed to do. They don't pay teachers very well. Even some states who pay do not pay on time. So sometimes these teachers are forced to engage in other activities to sustain their families. And sometimes you won't blame them for that because they want their life to teach. So I think from the government, once the government is bad, once the government does not do what they're supposed to do, every other thing will go south. That is just the thing.
Mm.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts. Let's get on WhatsApp now and we get to Facebook and see what we have going on there. Good afternoon, Gabby. Jesse says, as a parent, I'll blame myself if my child fails an examination. The educational system has played its part. The teachers play their part. So it's my total responsibility to play the last part in making sure all the child gets out there is what it should be. All right. Michael Brown says, as for me, the educational system, parents and the students themselves are to be blamed. No parent wants to see his or her child fail and repeat a class. Unlike in our days, if you fail, the parents would ask you to repeat that class. My parents did it to me, even in my senior class, and that really helped me to be well-grounded today. But the reverse is the case today. If you fail any child, that school will lose customers. Many parents will withdraw their kids from that school, and that's bad market for many schools. So for them not to lose pupils, they rather pass and keep promoting all the kids in their schools. Blame number one, the parents. Blame number two, the schools. Michael Brown, thank you for your thoughts. Christopher is calling from Woji. Oh, dear. Christopher, please do all to call back. Moving on, still on WhatsApp, Ben says, from the standpoint of measurement and evaluation, the teacher will be held responsible for extreme poor performance in a test or exam where the validity and reliability of such a test or exam are compromised. Otherwise, the student is totally responsible for the outcome of the exam. Validity simply refers to when a test measures exactly what it ought to measure. Reliability, on the other hand, refers to when the test processes are error-free. Finally, you appear to be in shock that someone scored one. Please note that zero is also a score in measurement and evaluation. Ben, thank you for your thoughts. Chief from Ozoba says, good afternoon, Gabby. My take on this is that I see a decline in our academic system. Parents' nonchalant attitude towards their words and their studies and laxity on the part of the children. The academic system has failed completely in the aspect of adhering to strict measures of issuing exams void of bribery. Most examiners help some children during such exams, collecting huge amounts of money from parents for them to pass, thereby making the other ones vulnerable to fail. Parents also have failed to monitor the children's academic strength and solely encourage them to pass, either by hook or by crook. This has a negative impact on the children's academic performance. Thank you, Chief from Osoba, for your thoughts. Back to the phone lines. Good afternoon. You're welcome.
Good afternoon.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Okay, so we blame the child, first of all, for not this.
Oh dear, what happened? Apologies, lady. Please do all to call back. I didn't even get your name. Anonymous is calling. Good afternoon.
Yeah. I said for me, I think that the parents should be the one to blame.
Tell me why.
Because sometimes the parents overlay their children. They don't know where they go, the kind of friend they have.
Mm.
That's why all these things, they keep on happening like this. Because I know, for myself, as an example, when I was in primary school, in primary two, I took three positions. But my mother was not comfortable with that three positions. she shouted at me that those two ahead of me, where did they have two heads? And that makes me to work more on myself.
Mm.
So sometimes our parents is the one we should blame on all this exam of a thing, because they don't look into their children's life, you know, how they, the kind of people they follow, how they do in school, or whether they go to school, or they just take away their screens and go to any place they like. For me, I think that the parents should be the one to blame for all this kind of result.
Okay, thank you very much for sharing. Oh dear, lost Favour's call there. Please do all to call back, Favour. Good afternoon, you're welcome.
Good afternoon.
You're welcome, go ahead.
Okay, firstly, I would say the things we put on the teachers, because most of the teachers we have in our school, they are not fully qualified. And they don't really know how to go along with the children. When I was in school last year, they have to say that when we have the most of the students, because of the scholars, the two models, it's only the few of them that are always there to learn. And you also have a teacher that they never should come in, everybody will ask me. And they are actually going to reach, like, the two parents have to say, like, that is. Then, secondly, I would say the children also, because we get to school, we meet diverse friends, we meet the children, the adults. And now it's less for us, because our parents are not there with us when we are in higher classes. And we mature enough to know the kind of friends and the friends we choose, because every influence also the first place of the students. I think to see students that are very, very bright from their primary and junior secondary level to get to higher level. They start misbehaving, getting lower. But we should go for the good ones to help us. And we should also bring down our heads to place on social media, letting the pleasurable places start.
All right. Thank you very much for sharing. Good afternoon. You're welcome. Hello. Oh, dear. I lost that call. Please do all to call back on Facebook. We do have some comments. Chidi Oyeso says the educational system. Tosin Kayode says the teacher. When the student is not well taught and the student is well taught but chooses to be unserious with his or her academics. Okay, so you say the teacher when the student is not well taught and the student when, you know, he chooses not to be serious. Okay, I get it. Thank you for sharing. Good afternoon, you're welcome.
No, I'm calling from Port Harcourt.
Go ahead.
Make a little contribution. I think the educational system, if we have to blame anybody, first of all, our portion of the blame is ability, privilege. But the bulk of the blame, in my thinking, will go to the teacher. The reason is simple. Who is supposed to impact this child? The teacher. Whether it's a good educational system or the bad educational system, they have infrastructure or they don't have infrastructure. What the teacher does is the first point of contact with the student in terms of impacting knowledge. It means that even if you have the best facilities and the teacher is effective, that child is going to come defective. And if you are writing an exam, nobody knows how to do. Child is from school A, they are defective. They give it standard globally, like in white or maybe jam. Okay? So my first thing goes to the teachers. Why? Because my observation recently, I haven't took time to study this with respect to my kids. I look at children in my neighborhood that go to public schools and the ones that go to private schools. I've taken time to look at what happened in the public schools, that coming from a science background especially. It's so worrisome of people. Because how can you teach somebody things when you know the thing? That is, you go to school and learn mathematics, because you understand, and they are teaching physics to you. Yes, you understand calculation, it's difficult for you to cope up. That is not the part of the teacher. That's on the part of the parents. Some parents just say, oh, I've sent the child to school. It is the responsibility of the school to cover for the child. I agree to an extent. I expect that any parent that sends the kid to school should also come and follow up. Do the parents have the time to do that follow up? Most often, because of the economic situation, this is what I attribute to that could be wrong. A lot of people spend so much time trying to put bread on the family table and don't have that extra time. Because truth be told, everyone was an educationist. I know the effort they put in. They come back from school, they go to your work, and then they ask you to do something, and then they correct you, and they even put you one step ahead. It makes it easier for you to learn in the class. The things that don't happen now, I doubt. And then the king of them all, the system, the government, that provides all the infrastructure that wants to provide enabling environment. Do we have that enabling environment? My question, my answer is no. We don't have it. I heard one of the callers there saying, you know, talking things about one teacher teaching 300 pesos and then no, you know, they don't even have markers to mark on the board. You don't have that, and you don't have markers, all this background. How are you able to attention to each child? Because every kid is unique in its own way. Every kid's unique. We're supposed to have systems that makes it possible for the teacher to be able to relate one-on-one with the students. So that, I'm looking at a situation where maybe a class of 30, maximum, or secondary school, and then you're able to see the defect in the students, and then maybe that student is not available. I'll just round up by saying, I think the fault is actually multifaceted. The government, in my view, will take 60%, the teacher will take 30%, and then the parents will take 10%. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. Your final caller. Let's wrap the conversation up on Facebook. M. Prince Munda says, in some cases, the teacher is involved. Why in some, it's dependent on the parents. All right. Thank you for sharing that with me. Let's see, do we have more comments on WhatsApp? We actually do have a lot of them. We can't take them all. I'll just take two more and we wrap the conversation up. Good afternoon, Gabriella. Who is to blame for exam failure? Okay. John West from Omoku, I've seen your message. I'm going to have to look. Let me see if I can pin your comment up here so we can look into what you just said and then we'll get back to the conversation. Wow, this is a very lengthy message. I think I'll just wrap up with this one. This here is from text from Oyibo. He says, good afternoon, Gabby. Blame depends on the scale of the failure and other factors. The teaching environment, availability of teaching aids, teacher-student ratio. 25% failure rate in a class of 90 students is not the same thing as failure in a class of 25 students, though the percentage failure is same. I think a failure rate is about 30% of students examined or tested. The blame should be towards the teacher and institution he or she represents. Ideally, the continuous assessment process should have made that teacher or school detect that the students weren't or aren't following or learning adequately. This would have predicted the failure if the method isn't reviewed. The students came to school to know, so the way to assess if they have known is the exam. It's the generally, if they do not know generally, the school should re-strategize their teaching method. However, when the rate is marginal, the individual students and their parents take that. Text from Oyigbo, thank you so much for your thoughts. On that note, we're going to wrap the conversation up. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a swell day having great conversations with you. Let's do this again tomorrow. I am Gabriella.